That's Vion.com.
What's the truth about federal telework? Learn what you and your agency need to know at the Telework Center at federalnewsradio.com, keyword telework. Sponsored by Tanberg, now a part of Cisco.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today, as we are every Wednesday at this time. We're going to have a trifecta for you today. I think that's a clean word, isn't it? Trifecta? Yes. We're going to have Ed Zirndorfer leading off. Ed is a benefits expert. He knows all about the TSP. And we're going to specifically ask him some questions about this new Affordable Care Act, the, I guess critics call it Obamacare, but it is the new health plan and its impact on the federal employee health benefits program, which could be substantial. And then coming up after Ed, Tom Trabuca is going to tell us about the L funds and the new 2050 fund and explain that. And then the last half of the hour, Marguerite Baptiste, the outgoing president of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, is going to give us a perspective after 4 years in Washington and being one of the most successful presidents NARF has had. So we're going to start off with Ed Zirndorfer. Ed, are you with us?
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, listen, thank you for coming on. I know you are incredibly busy this time of year with tax stuff, and I think a lot of people don't know this unless you have your friends with an accountant, but this is as busy as the tax filing season, isn't it?
Well, today actually is the deadline for filing your third quarter estimated taxes, federal and state. So I guess there's some busy accountants out there who are telling their clients that if you owe estimated taxes, you better get to the post office or do your estimated tax payment online today. September 15th is the deadline.
It's a little busy, but
we're very busy also with the various insurance issues that are affecting everyone in health and life. And, of course, we're getting constant questions about the Thrift Savings Plan, what's happening with the stock market. And there's never a dull moment, Mike.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're glad we caught you in a little bit of downtime here. Ed, I think many people know now that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, it kicked in many instances. Some of the things are way prospective in the future. But effective January 1st, the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program will feel its impact in that the age for coverage for dependents rises from 22, which it is currently, to age 26, and that'll be a blessing for an awful lot of people. And I did a column on it the other day, and several people said that I used the word dependent too many times, that you're not talking about dependent children necessarily as just children. Are you up on that?
Well, the way the OPM set the regulations, and they're on their website, the following individuals are eligible now for the federal health insurance benefits program. Of course, any child who is 18 or younger certainly is going to be part of the family self and family coverage. A child who is between 18 and 22, who is a college student, is also eligible, but under current law, when a child turns 22, that child is no longer eligible to be on the federal health insurance program. There's like a one-month freebie. This child can stay on between their 22nd birthday and a month thereafter. But once the child has reached, let's say, 22 years and one month, they're really off the parent's self and family coverage. But this is going to change effective January 1st, 2011. A child who is between 22 and 26 can be covered under their parents' self and family enrollment up until their 26th birthday. Now, when I say child, I'm including even a married child can be included on their parents' self and family coverage. But if the child is married, their spouse and the child's children, in other words, the grandchildren, cannot be covered under the plan. It's only the child itself. I'll give you an example. Our son got married this past in August, and he's married to a very nice young lady, and he's still a student. He's a full-time student. He was off our federal employees health insurance plan when he turned 22 last December. Now, theoretically, we can add him back to our plan come this January because I'm a federal retiree. I have self and family coverage. But I cannot add his wife. His wife will not be eligible to go into the federal employees health insurance. Now, if her parents have a plan in which the employer allows a married child to be covered by the group health insurance plan, then she can go into the plan. But married children are not only up at age 26 and stay on their parents' plan.
Yeah, this is going to be very confusing. And I talked to an expert who's out of pocket right now and couldn't come on and talk about this, but he's going to later. But he said that he thinks this thing is wildly exaggerated and being interpreted incorrectly.
Well,
and
that there's more children, Mike, that are included. Uh-huh. For example, a stepchild. And the stepchild doesn't even have to live with the parent in order to be eligible for the plan. So you can have a stepchild, a child who is incapable of self-support, let's say a child because of a mental or physical disability that began before age 26, are also eligible to continue coverage. And foster children are also eligible for coverage up until age 26. So it's more than just a natural child, so to speak. They've really expanded the number of eligible children who can stay on the federal employees' health insurance self and family coverage. I also want to point out that if a child was disabled and remains unmarried, no matter what the child's age, the child can stay on the parents' health insurance plan.
Yeah, it would seem that this is going to add an awful lot of people certainly eligible for this program and maybe bring thousands of people who were never covered before into the FEHPP. You think so?
Yeah, I think so, Mike. And I think, you know what that's going to translate to? Higher premiums for everybody. Because mm-hmm. anytime you add more people to the risk pool, so to speak, the insurance companies have to cover themselves, and they're going to raise premiums for everybody. So premiums are going to go up. OPM, by the way, has not announced what the premiums will be for 2011, but they should very shortly.
Right, and that the 2011 premiums would have been decided before any of this this came into play, correct?
OPM normally works with the insurance companies over the summer. Let's say this past summer for mm-hmm. 2011. And OPM knew at that time that they're going to be adding more people to the risk pool. So I'm sure in negotiations with the insurance companies, this was brought up, and the insurance companies have set their rates accordingly.
Okay, all right. I thought they were sort of experience rated, but they can do it prospectively too.
Oh yeah, and they will, because the insurance companies obviously are raising their premiums for health insurance for everybody. And they're going to do it for federal employees and retirees as well.
Right. Got a question. I have a specific question about the eye care and the dental coverage. But before that, and I did not understand this, but looking at the OPM regulations, it looks like there's some maybe significant changes made to being able to use a flexible spending account, an FSA, for certain kinds of drugs.
Yes, that's also part of the Affordable Care Act of 2010. Effective January 1st, 2011, you cannot use your health care flexible spending account to pay for over-the-counter medications. Until now, you have been. When I say over-the-counter medications, I mean things like aspirin, cough medicine, Band-Aids, allergy medicines that you can buy over-the-counter. All that stuff, under current law, you can use your health care flexible spending act to health care flexible spending account to pay for. And effective January 1st, 2011, that will no longer be true. Now, there's some employees out there say, well, that's really not bad because I'm currently enrolled in the healthcare flexible spending account, and I have until March 15, 2011 to spend my money. That's true, except that you will not be able to use the money that's in your account for 2010. Starting January 1st, 2011, to pay for out-of-pocket, over-the-counter medications. It's going to be effective for everybody, even for those employees who are starting their flexible spending accounts as of January 1st, 2011.
So that's really a deliberalization of the program, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a real, for a lot of people, that's going to be, have a really a lot of effect, because a lot of people enroll in these flexible spending accounts to pay for things that their health insurance is not going to pay for. I want to tell, there's another significant effect on healthcare flexible spending accounts that's going to take effect come 2013. Under the Affordable Care Act, effective January 1st, 2013, the maximum you can put into a healthcare flexible spending account will be reduced down to $2,500 from $5,000. Right now, the maximum is $5,000. And be honest with you, Mike, it doesn't take much to use up that money in that flexible spending account, because you can use it not only for health health-related expenses, but for dental and vision. I mean, how much do a pair of glasses cost?
Sure.
And if you have a significant dental expense, and you don't have dental insurance like orthodontics, or you have to have a bridge put in your mouth or a crown or something like that, it really doesn't take much to use up that money. And here they're going to lower it down from $5,000 to $2,500. That's really going to have an effect. But again, that will not take effect till 2013.
And that's purely a revenue grab, isn't it?
Well, you know, when Congress passes these laws, you know, under the rules now, when you pass one piece of legislation that's going to have an effect on that's going to cause the Treasury to spend money, you have to raise taxes on the other end. So the Treasury giveth away, and the Treasury taketh away. That's the way the law is written now. So they traded off, you know, this idea of making health care more affordable to the American people at a cost to the American taxpayer, but the American taxpayer is going to ultimately be paying for this.
Yeah, though the buck always stops with us.
One other change on this, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, which may have effect on some people, especially retirees. You know, if you have a significant amount of health, of medical, dental, vision expenses that you're paying out of pocket, not using a flexible spending account, but you're paying for it out of pocket, if you itemize on your income taxes, if your total expenses exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, and you itemize any expenses that exceed that 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, can be deducted as a medical expense. It's an itemized deduction. Hopefully nobody will come to that point. They have such high out-of-pocket medical expenses that they're going to end up reaching that point.
Good.
But in case they do, they can get some tax benefits from deducting the excess expenses. Well, effective January 1st, 2013, the 7.5% floor goes to 10%.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's
so
tough.
They're really making it harder for people, you know, to get any tax benefits from as far as medical, dental, and vision expenses.
This is why the bill
is 908
pages long. Ed, thanks. That's a wealth of information you crammed in a few minutes there. Thank you so much, and we will be talking to you later on.
As always, my pleasure, Mike.
Thank you. We'll be right back here. We're going to come up with Tom Trabuca and talk about the L funds, the life cycle funds, and the thrift savings plan here on WFED 1500 AM.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
What is the Federal Aviation Administration's information technology strategy? How is the FAA enhancing its IT governance and program management? And what about FAA's Next Generation Initiative? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with Dave Bowen, Assistant Administrator for Information Services and Chief Information Officer at the Federal Aviation Administration. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Diaper bag, check. Bouncy seat, check. Stroller, car seat, bottles, butt wipes, and binky, check, check, and double check. Why it takes 30 pounds of equipment to transport one 12-pound baby, we'll never know. So at Kaiser Permanente, we put everything for baby and you in one place. Everything you need, from obstetricians and nurses to nutritionists and pediatricians. A whole care team of specialists assembled to keep your baby and you in top running order, not running around. And you can even go online with My Health Manager to schedule routine appointments, check most lab results, and exchange emails with your Kaiser Permanente doctor's office. Imagine having a conversation with your pediatrician without having to fold or unfold that stroller. Convenient? Check. Efficient? Check. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. The Obama administration's performance assessment on performance was a call out to senior executives. Are senior executives ready for that call? Insights from Carol Bonacero from the Senior Executive Association. And the Service to America medals, the Sammies, they're awarded tonight. We'll have a preview this afternoon after Washington Nationals baseball on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Glad to have you with us. We just spoke with Ed Zirndorfer. He's an expert on benefits, and he cleared up a lot of things for me about the Affordable Care Act. Earlier this week, Chris Dorabeck spoke with Tom Trabuca of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. That's a long-handled way of saying the Thrift Savings Plan. Tom is Director of External Affairs, which means, among other things, he deals with people like me, with the media, he deals with Congress, and he is as knowledgeable as anyone there is about the Federal Thrift Savings Plan. And Chris Dorabeck asked him about these L funds, the life cycle funds. What are they? Who needs them? And there's a new fund coming up since we're into the year 2010. The 2010 fund now becomes the current income fund. So they're going to phase into a 2050 retirement fund, and that would be for people who these would be young feds for the most part who want a balanced portfolio, one that keeps getting more conservative each day because it's rebalanced, and one that they will be tapping into around the year 2050, 2045 or 2055. And so here we go with Tom Trabuca speaking with Chris Dorabeck.
Each of the L funds is invested in a professionally determined mix of stocks and bonds and treasury securities. All you have to determine if you're going into the L fund is when you expect to need your money in retirement, your time horizon. And you choose the L fund that's the closest to that date. The L funds with target dates that are farther into the future are invested with higher percentages of domestic and foreign stocks. These funds are riskier, but they offer the potential for greater growth. The investment mix of each fund adjusts quarterly to more conservative investments as the fund's time horizon shortens. When you invest in an L fund, you take on a level of risk that's appropriate for your time horizon in order to pursue higher returns. This is called staying on the edge, on the term escapes me right now, but
right,
it'll come to me.
Essentially, it's what all the analysts out there say, what all the financial managers say is plan for the long term. So if you're not going to touch the money for 30 or 40 years, it's okay to have some fluctuation because you're not going to be touching it for 30 or 40 years. And the long term projection of that is it will probably generally go up. But if you're going to need the money in five years or so, you don't want all that fluctuation because you need that money.
That's right. So you need a more stable investment with a shorter time horizon. With a longer time horizon, you can take some more chances and ride through the business cycles and whatever else happens that's going to affect the stock
market. And 2008, the perfect example of that for a lot of folks who had that short horizon, still had a lot of stocks, and when the market didn't do so well, a lot of people, unfortunately, left in some pretty, they're still working.
That's right. And a lot of them, frankly, were in target date funds that were out there offered by various fund houses that had too much invested in stocks. They were being too aggressive for the short time horizon. And a lot of people were quite surprised being in either income funds or 2010 funds that suffered losses in the 30 to 40% range.
Mm. Yeah. That's hard. And one of the misconceptions of the L funds is people think the date is when you're retiring. That's not necessarily the case, is it?
That's right, yeah. The average retirement age in the federal government is very similar to what it is in the private sector, about age 61. And we find that people do continue to work in other jobs after retirement.
Right.
So if you're taking on that second job, and you remember the TSP is just one leg of a three-legged stool, you'll get your federal retirement annuity if you're a FERS employee up to 33% of your high three pay. It starts coming in monthly installments when you retire. You'll get your the Social Security as long as you've reached your MRA. When you do, you'll get your Social Security substitute until the Social Security kicks in. So many people can let their TSP ride until they fully retire.
So the first L fund that was created, the L 2010 fund, is riding off into the sunset.
That's right. I like that, riding off into the sunset. It's actually, however, rolling down the hill one more step into the L income fund. That's essentially what happens. And the allocations in the 2010 fund are now identical to the investment allocations in the L income fund.
And the L income fund, just for those, you know, particularly with a lot of these new folks involved in the TSP, L income represents?
That's the period for people who are planning on withdrawing their TSP at any time.
Right.
And let me just run you through the allocations here so you'll get a sense of how conservative that is. In the L income fund, 74% of it is invested in the G fund, or never have a bad day. 6% in the F fund, so you've got 80% in the stable value funds. Then you've got 20% in our three stock funds, C, S, and I, common stocks, S&P 500, the rest of the domestic market in the S fund, and the I fund is international. Contrast that with the our new fund that we will be rolling out in January called the 2050 Fund, because that is the fund that basically matures, or you're targeting 2050 as the point in time when you'll begin accessing those funds.
Oh, my goodness. Seems so far away, doesn't it?
It does, but these things, time just marches on, Chris. So in that one, our C fund allocation will be 43.8%, S fund 18.9%, I fund 26%, for a total allocation in our stock funds of 89.5%. And then only 10.5% will be combined in the F and the G funds in terms of the 2050. So you can get a good idea of just what the spread is. We go from being in the L income fund, 80% in F and G, to the L 2050 fund, 10.5% in the F and G.
You were talking a little bit about these some 401k plans that maybe their target funds were a little bit, people were not as clear about where those funds were going. And in fact, somebody sent me a Wall Street Journal story that talked about, the headline is your hedge fund lurking in your 401k. And it says, be warned, retirement savers, your target date mutual fund might be acting like a hedge fund. In recent years, target date funds have soared in popularity in part because of their supposed simplicity, pick a fund, target date, yada, 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 all the stuff we just went through. But particularly post-2008, a number of target date funds have essentially revamped their allocations. They're trying to get the numbers out.
That's right. They got whacked so badly back then. And remember, what these funds do,
they're trying to make it up.
In their advertising, what they do is they publish what their returns would have been on their particular allocation looking backwards. And that's how they all compete with each other. So that's why they had a tendency to make them more aggressive, because you could then show better returns over that backward-looking period than your competition. We're in the luxury position of not competing with anybody when it comes to that, and we just design it so that it is what the fiduciaries determine after careful analysis is the best allocation based on all the information. So these funds now are coming back, and they're getting into the tactical asset allocation, meaning they'll have flexibility to deviate from their published, you know, I've just told you what our allocations are going to be. They publish allocations as well, but now they're working in this idea that they'll be able to, based on market opportunities, make some adjustments in those numbers quickly when opportunities present themselves. That's getting into an area that we are not in, and we're are not going to get into. It's essentially a little bit of active investing.
Right.
We're passive investing 100%, and the individual makes the choice on where the funds are going to be invested, not the plan manager.
That was Tom Trabuco talking with our own Chris Dorbeck here about the Thrift Savings Plan and specifically the L funds and the new 2050 L fund, which is seems like a long way out, but there are going to be people who will find it a good deal. And again, they stressed the point, and Chris made this point, and you can't make it too often. When you're talking about a target fund like that, you're not talking about the day you retire, because federal workers tend to retire earlier than most private sector people because they have good annuities, either civil service or FERS. They're not as dependent on their thrift savings plan accounts, at least in most cases. So oftentimes it might be the case that you would retire at 60 or 61 and not touch your thrift savings plan until the year you're 70 and a half and have to start taking a minimum withdrawal. So bear that in mind, and we'll be having more on that. We're going to take a real short break here, and we'll be coming back talking with Margaret Baptiste, the outgoing president of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. She's got a fascinating story. We'll get to it. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Tune into the Federal CFO Insights program on September 22nd at 1 p.m. as we turn the tables and interview former program host Clarence Crawford, former federal CFO and current director with Deloitte Consulting, LLP. Mr. Crawford will discuss the changing role and road ahead for federal CFOs with new program host and former radio personality Jane Norris. Don't miss Deloitte's Federal CFO Insights program on Wednesday, September 22nd at 1 p.m. only on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hey, this is Chris from Force 3. For a limited time, we're giving away $20 worth of iTunes apps downloads to the folks at federal agencies who are so busy making last-minute IT upgrades. It's just a way to say thanks for your hard work, and there's no purchase necessary. We just want you to remember that Force 3 has people working late to take your calls. We're on Soup 4, have a huge GSA schedule, and a wide variety of GWACs. You can make all your purchases with one call, then play Doodle Jump, fix your game on Golf Putt Pro, or check out the field guide to North American Owls. Owls rock. Call 800-391-0204 and speak to a live Force 3 representative. Go to force3.com now to get your free downloads before the offer ends. And it will end. Just as the world will end. Yep, I got the Nostradamus app. Force 3 is a provider of IBM products and solutions for the federal government. IBM, smarter governing is what they do. Visit force3.com to find out more about our leading technologies.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem.
Hi, may I take your order this evening? Ow.
If you said server down, you are correct. Quest Security Solutions can help you keep your agency network up and running. And by developing extensive continuity plans, we can keep your data secure. To learn more about Quest Security Solutions, visit quest.com/federal. That's quest.com/federal.
Glad to have you with us, and we have the third jewel in our trifecta crown today. I had Ed Zerndorfer earlier to kick us off about the health program and FSAs, learned a lot of stuff from that. Tom Trabuca told us about how the Thrift Savings Plan works, specifically the life cycle L funds. And now, last but certainly not least, is the outgoing president of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, Marguerite Baptiste. She has done a number of firsts and everything. Hey, welcome. Congratulations on... I bet you're kind of glad to be going home. Huh?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's been wonderful, but it'd be nice to go home.
Now, it seems to me you've got a lot of firsts here. You are the first woman president of NARF.
In its 90-year history, yes.
Okay. First non-federal employee.
First survivor annuitant to have the job, yes.
So you were active in it. And from your accent, I'm guessing you're not from Brooklyn. Where were you born?
I was born in London, England. Came to America in 1956, meaning to stay here a year and just see New York and then travel across the country. And as I always say, it's been a very long year.
So, you know, it's just remarkable. Anytime anybody gets to the top of any organization, but particularly when it's an elective process, the things that go through, the leaders of the postal and federal unions, I have such tremendous respect for them because they came up from the ranks. And how did you get on this career track? What put you in this studio today?
Well, it really started back at the time I got married in 1961. My husband would then had 15 years working for the Military Sea Command, and he was a person, he was 10 years older than I was. He had been brought up during the Depression. I had grown up in England during World War II, which is not a fun childhood for anybody. And when we got married, he said, I know you don't like my job because I'm out at sea for weeks, sometimes months at a time, but I'm 15 years towards getting my annuity. I have another 15 to go, and you will be very, very glad when I retire that we have an annuity. And when he did retire, a good friend of ours who was active in NARF invited us to join. And we always saw NARF, as you well know, as a way to protect and defend and preserve his annuity. He's now been gone for 13 years. I am very, very happy to get that small check every month, and I would be a fool if I didn't work to preserve and protect it. So, as he always said, I was the talker in the family. And I was invited to work in the South Carolina Federation and in my own chapter. And then someone suggested that I run for election as the regional vice president for Region 3, which is South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Puerto Rico. And I said, no, they'll never elect a woman. And, of course, I won. And then after Alla died, it was suggested that I run for national vice president, and they'd never had a woman in that job. And I ran, and I won. And then I ran for president in 2002, and they said, oh, you can't have a survivor annuitant who's foreign-born in this job. And after a disputed election, I went home. And in 2006, it was suggested that I try again. And to everyone's surprise, here I am. And I have had the most fantastic 4 years.
Well, I know you have. It's been interesting times. Yep. And last year, and this goes for all of the groups, the postal and the federal managers and the Senior Executive Association. But last year was probably the best year. Well, certainly was the best year feds have ever had. And I would guess it's the best year they will ever have on Capitol Hill.
I think so. Our list of legislative accomplishments for last year, and as you very well know, we have a fantastic legislative department, used to be led by your and my good friend Judy Park, and now by Dan Adcock and his people. And we have really had a good year. Now, who knows what happens in November?
Well, I want to ask you about that, because, you know, with that, what we try to do here at Federal News Radio is to inform people, but not hype it, not scare them.
Yep.
You know, the sky is not falling in every day. But that said, I've been talking with a lot of lobbyists, and again, they're paid to be pessimistic, and they're paid to put a dark spin on it, but they're also realists, and a number of them are really very worried about this lame duck session and the Deficit Reduction Committee. And I know you, Dan Adcock, your legislative director, had a very powerful, and again, I don't think it was intent to scare people, but it was like, this is not a drill, folks, talking about what could happen in the lame duck session and then with this Deficit Reduction Commission.
Yeah, we just back from Grand Rapids, where we held our national convention at the end of August, and the overwhelming concern from all of our members is what sort of report the Deficit Commission is going to put out. They are, you know, they didn't get a COLA last year. There's no COLA this year. And, of course, we've heard all of the threats to go from a high 3 to a high 5 to reduce our annuities. And it's a myth that we're all living on the fat of the land. I hear constantly from survivor annuitants whose husbands were not in the highest ranks of the government, who are living on a very small annuity, and with the increasing cost of health care and Medicare, are having an incredibly difficult time.
Okay, let's take a short break here. When we come back, I want to pick up on something and get some English language translations to some of these things we talk about. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Rob Carey is the outgoing Department of Navy CIO. He wants to dispel any rumors about why he's leaving his position after 4 years and who the next chief information officer will be.
The compromise solution was, we'll put a civilian in there and create a civilian position at a very senior level to be the CIO. So the recruitment that is out is for an SES, Tier 3, a very senior person that will report directly to the secretary and the under.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Federal News Radio now has an iPhone app where you can listen to Federal News Radio, read Mike Causey's daily columns, and listen to interviews from all of your favorite shows on demand, like The Federal Drive, The Dora Beck Insider, In Depth, and Your Turn. Stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal government and contracting community, all from the palm of your hand. And the best part? It's free and easy. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. Thanks for being with us today. Talking with Marguerite Baptiste. She is president of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. NARF has always been one of the biggest of the federal and postal groups in any way you look at it. I know your membership is big or bigger than most of the unions. And your political action committee it seems to me it's been in the top 10 in the country.
Yes.
I mean,
yep.
Which is absolutely amazing, because federal retirees are known for being, what should we say, frugal. And yet they donate. The one thing you got at your Grand Rapids, Michigan convention that surprised me a little bit, and I guess it's a tribute to you and the nurse staff. You got a dues increase, which is always fought to the death at these conventions.
And it was, but people recognized that if we want to give them the level of service, we had to have a dues increase, and they did it overwhelmingly, which made us very, very happy. I think the important thing to remember is that we were also celebrating our 90th anniversary. And we put out a book, of which I am going to give you a copy, which lists the history of the civil service and just what NARF has done since its inception in 1921. And it's a pretty wonderful record of what we've accomplished, the things we've been involved in. And I know you, and I'm always glad when I see it, that you're pushing NARF, but active federal workers and retirees need to know that NARF is the only organization really working for them. And they need to belong now more than ever because we just don't know what's going to happen in November. So we need numbers to have a big voice in Washington.
Well, your dues increase, it went to $40?
Went to $40.
What's interesting about that is when I wrote that here, I wrote it and turned it in, and I said the dues are going to $40 a year. And somebody here said, "You mean a week, right?" And I said, "No, a year," because in the private sector, our union dues are about $40 a week.
Yep. And it always amazes me when people complain because I read our chapter newsletters, and they spend a vast amount to go out to lunch and to do various things. And NARF members do a lot of good fundraising, but $40 a year. I belong to other, sort of fraternal organizations. I haven't been to a meeting in years, but I pay my dues to support them because they're doing good work. And it's more than the $40 I'm paying NARF. So as we always say, you can belong to NARF for pennies a day. It's worth
Literally,
it.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, well, John Elliott, benefits expert, does a lot of pre-retirement and mid-career seminars. And there are three things that he recommends active duty people do, no matter what their age. And the first one is to join NARF. So that's good. I interrupted you back there cruelly with a commercial, but that's what pays the bills. We were talking about colas, and to federal workers, we all know that a cola is not something you drink. It is a cost of living adjustment.
Yes.
But to the real world, a cola is a cola. The federal retirees, it's a wonderful system. They're protected from inflation, at least under the civil service retirement system, but they get a full inflation adjustment every January. And if you're under the FERS system, you get a cost of living minus 1 percentage point, and that starts for age 62 for that group of people. But that said, it's a wonderful deal. I don't know of any private pension plan that does that. The problem is you got to have inflation. And we've had 2 years now running of deflation, so there was no cost of living adjustment, no COLA in January of 2010, and there will not be a COLA cost of living adjustment in 2011. And that's tough because I think you mentioned earlier that things like Social Security premiums and, of course, health insurance premiums, they're not indexed to inflation. In fact, they go up much higher than the rate of inflation.
Yeah. I mean, right now we're waiting for OPM to release the figures to see how much the federal employee health benefits plan will go up. And it's been going up on an average of anywhere between 8% and 15% a year.
And OPM, the government, has held it down artificially to the best extent they can by using reserve funds.
Yep.
Ed Zerndorfer, who was on earlier, and he was talking about the impact of this Affordable Care Act, the ACA Act, or Obamacare, if you don't like it. But he was talking about the impact of it, and he said it's going to be bringing in thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of new people, the non-dependents, but the people under 26, and even a case of if you have a 25-year-old son who doesn't live with you, is not dependent, you can still bring him in under the federal program. His wife and children, not so, but a huge potential audience out there. And Ed predicted it would raise premiums because whenever you bring a large group of people into a system like that, particularly those who want to come in because they think they're going to need it, he predicted it would have an impact on this year's premiums.
I think that's very true. I think I've been very lucky. I may have picked the best 4 years to be president that anyone could pick. So,
yeah, well, going out with that 2009 record, short break here. We'll be right back talking to Margaret Baptiste, National Active and Retired Federal Employees. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
And it is gone. Another three-run homer for Adam Dunn. And the Nationals win on a walk-off single by Hunt Rodriguez.
Swing and a line drive. Diving stop by Sermon. Throws to second for one. Now to first, a double play.
Turn your double play today. Buy two new 2011 season tickets and get two season tickets plus the remainder of this season for free. Go to nationals.com/2011 or call 202-675-NAX for details. Select locations. Some restrictions apply.
There are many ways to be a hero. You can protect, you can lead, you can inspire, or you can do all three. Be an IT hero in your government agency. Help your agency staff be more productive. Virtualize your data centers to maximize efficiency and help reduce costs. Get your U.S. government configuration baseline compliance using Microsoft technologies while maintaining effective configuration settings focusing on security. You can do it all with Microsoft. Heroes are wanted. Learn how you can be an IT hero. Go to Microsoft.com/govitHero today.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses. Like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the internet was intended? Maybe. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
You run the kids to the bus in the morning, run errands in the afternoon, run out for dinner, then run to music lessons. Let's face it, your schedule has your family running wild. It's time for some healthy running. The Marine Corps Marathon invites you to register your 6 to 13-year-old for the Healthy Kids Fun Run on Saturday, October 30th at the Pentagon. It's a one-mile, confidence-building fun run where every participant proudly walks away with a medal. The fun includes a family fitness festival, mascots, entertainment, and more. Visit MarineMarathon.com.
Mike Causey, welcome back to your turn. Glad to have you with us. And we're in the home stretch here. I'm talking with Margaret Baptiste. She's president, the outgoing president of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. And Margaret, you've been in office since, what did you say, 90?
Well, I was vice president from 98 to 2002 and president from 2006 to 2010.
Okay, because it seems like I've known you forever, and it practically have. remarkable story how you got here. First woman, first foreign-born person. No issues about your birth certificate. You owned up to being a Londoner, right?
Yeah, but I can promise you that I have the documentation to prove that I'm a naturalized American citizen.
Okay, right. And more than that, you're going to live in South Carolina.
Yep, back to Charleston.
Yeah. Tell us about the new president, NARF, because this is a huge outfit, this NARF, and your conventions. I've been to a couple that are just, they make the Republican and the Democratic conventions of the old days look like a tea party.
No, the new president is Joe Baudwin, who comes from Winchester, Virginia. He is the current vice president, and before that, he was the regional vice president for Region 10. Joe is lucky. He's broken the jinx since 1992, to my knowledge. We have never elected the vice president as president. The vice president's always run, and he's been beaten by a treasurer or by someone else or an outsider like me. So Joe is coming in. He's had 2 years as vice president. He's learned what he's doing. He knows the people in the office. And as everyone's fond of saying, he can hit the floor running. So, he will take over on November the 1st.
That's right. He was here.
And
for
I
the,
wish him well.
He was here for the good 2009 year. Margaret, what, real quickly, what are the threats, you know, the honest, bona fide threats to federal retirees and to the system?
The real threat is the incoming report of the Deficit Commission. Balancing the budget, which we all know is in terrible shape, and it's much easier to cut benefits to 4 million federal retirees than it is to the millions and millions of Social Security people. So we always get threatened first.
Would you,
and that's what we have to keep on the alert for.
We've had a rash of news stories. I know you've seen them coming out of various think tanks and coming out of the media itself about overpaid federal workers. Do you think if this drive to cut benefits at the expense of federal retirees gets going, that they're going to be singled out as fat cat retirees?
In today's economy, I'm very, very much afraid of that. But there's those ones about overpaid federal retirees. All right, we've got some people at the very top who are paid well. But in most instances, people who work for the federal government could make much more money if they worked in private industry. I look at my husband. He was a chief engineer for the Military Sea Command. He retired. We had two kids to put through school. They were just going to college. Ended up working in private industry where you were getting paid much, much more. And the same goes for a lot of things, for lawyers, for all sorts of positions. So a lot of these think tank things, I think it's the Cato Institute bought one out, they only looked at the really high-priced people. They didn't look at the people who were out there as park rangers, who were delivering the mail, who were doing the everyday work in OPM, in HUD, in all of the various agencies. They're not all rich people. They, you know, and then a certain amount does go to their annuity. But I would be prepared to bet there are more poor people in the government than rich people.
Well, I got an interesting email yesterday from a reader, and had it in the column today. She's a commuter from Fredericksburg, and she said, "If you all this talk about rich federal workers," she said, "go to McLean, go to Georgetown, go to Old Town Alexandria, go to Cleveland Park, and look around and knock on the door and see who answers. It won't be somebody from HUD or GSA. It will be a doctor, a lawyer, or a high-paid media type."
Absolutely. And that's what I'm trying to say. And she said it better. But that's the truth. I mean, you know, your mailman, your park ranger doesn't live in Rock Creek Park or somewhere like that.
Yeah, my mother was a federal worker. By the way, my mother was a NARF member.
Yeah,
too,
I know that.
And, she was a longtime Fed. Margaret, wish you all the best. Thank you so much for coming in. You had a really good run that year. 2009 is going to go down in the history books for all of the federal, postal, and retiree groups. So thank you. Wish you well, and we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us here on WFED. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. And remember, if you can't listen at work, and that's a shame, we are archived on our webpage so that you can listen to the entire show there. And also, somebody is going to do a write of this show that will appear on our webpage probably today. Am I looking at the writer? Bio says it will appear today. So thank you very much for being with us. See you next Wednesday. Have a good week.
Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver.
To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
What will happen to your hard-earned wealth after you die? How do you protect